The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back. As we head into hour three, we're talking about races here in Arizona for the state legislature. Yesterday, we spoke with candidate Marie running for House of Representatives. The state Senate, just as important, if not more so. And we have been delighted with redistricting to have representing this area, Legislative District 4, from where we broadcast, where I live. We have been delighted to get Senator Nancy Bartow representing us and running for re-election here. And it is such an important race. I can't communicate how important a legislator Nancy Bartow is. Many of you know in my volunteer time, I'm involved in a lot of different public policy areas, particularly youth and health and mental health policy. You go to these meetings, and again and again and again, there's like only one or two people in the legislature that others say you need to call. You have a concern, you need to call the water carrier, and that's Nancy Bartow. She is always there for us. Nancy Bartow, welcome back to our radio show.
Thanks so much, Seth, and I appreciate your kind words.
Well, we appreciate your great service, Nancy. We really do. This is an important one. Folks, if you want to help Nancy out, nancybartow.com is her website. Easy enough. Nancy, you look at the state of our state right now, and you look at the various tipping points on various areas of policy. Tell us what concerns you most. What are you running hardest on? What issues do you think are most prominent, not only for the district, but for the state of Arizona?
Well, you know, they run the gamut, but because all eyes are on Arizona, what happens here is going to matter all over the country. We are going to need to win every race in order to really push back on what's happening federally. I mean, if we don't win at the top of the ticket to the bottom, including our U.S. Senate, we're going to see things like federalizing elections and packing the Supreme Court, continuing to have a Biden border. I don't even want to call it a border crisis. It's a Biden border crisis. And all that comes with that just continuing to wreak havoc in our state. So, you know, it's important that we not only win those federal races and the top of the ticket, but if we don't win the state legislature and have a working majority to push back against what's happening, we do just as poorly. We haven't really had much of a working majority over the last few years on a number of issues, and so I'm really looking forward to a big win, and it's going to be a ground game from here on to make sure that happens.
That's a great point you're making about a working majority. I think I know what you mean, and I'll ask you to explain it further to the audience. Right now, we're just one or two votes, right, between R and D on in our legislature. It's so closely and evenly split that it's darn near impossible to really get serious legislative reform or serious legislative agendas on behalf of common sense or Republican policies because it is so darned close, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And a good example of that is how we were really unable to do the work we needed to do to protect children. We did pass some bills on mask and vaccine mandates for parents, but you know, we came woefully short on really protecting kids from gender ideology in schools and giving parents the opportunity to see what's happening, as, you know, in terms of their curriculum in schools. We couldn't even get all of our Republicans on board. We fell short by one. And, of course, every Democrat voted no.
Right.
So I mean, it was a miracle, frankly, that we had the ESA bill through. And that's just an incredible victory. But that's at risk, too. Yep. If we lose our majority and have it go to the ballot, these things are just so they're all on the line.
That's right. I'm glad you brought up ESAs and school choice. So very, very critically. It's very critically important, the school choice, but also the choice has to be meaningful. And so the state legislature tried to do something about some of this cruddy content, whether it was racialization or sexualization of our children. Is that something that we can take up again, curriculum reform from the state legislature?
We can. And that's one of my first priorities, is to back curriculum transparency. Senate Bill 1211 was super important. It makes so much sense, because we know that you can outlaw CRT and specific ideology and sex ed, but they sneak it in everywhere.
Yeah.
The racial wokeness is throughout curriculum. Parents need to know and see and have that opportunity to make a choice based on that knowledge where their kids are going to go.
It's amazing how fast things can change. You and I grew up in roughly the same neighborhood. We went to the same high school, go Titans. And it's just a different Phoenix and Scottsdale now, and it's a different education system than what we grew up with, Nancy. It's changed. The left moves very fast. They move quietly, but they move fast and they move hard, don't they? They don't do incremental. They do big.
Yeah. It's incredible, frankly, how quickly things have gone from, kind of under the radar pushing this kind of thing and then denying that it's happening.
Right.
And now they're just openly pushing it and trying to defend this wokeness, sex ed, even what Superintendent Hoffman has on her huge hat that's just getting kids involved in chat rooms and keeping parents in the dark.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. This is right out in the open, and it is a different world. I mean, I, like you said, we grew up in a very innocent age where, I mean, my dad saw it happen. I've talked about that at a lot of my events, how he was really, really active in looking at my textbooks and, you know, much to my dismay, criticizing because he didn't see much pro-America content back then. But now it's so much worse. It's all anti-America and pro-socialism. And we're seeing the results now after so many decades of how kids are now voting accordingly, because they're not hearing the truth about how good America is and what we really are founded on.
I often joke about those textbooks. I think I know some of them. We would give our eye teeth for those textbooks again, even though your dad thought they weren't quite sturdy enough. What we would do to get those textbooks back, given what kids are faced with today. But you're right. That is how the left does it, that when we find out what they're up to, particularly in our schools, whether it's CRT or sexualization or just downright propaganda about this country, they at first will deny that it's happening. There's the syllogism here. They deny that it's happening. And then when it can no longer be denied, they shame us and try and call us names or slander us for making it an issue. And then the next thing you know is they go about mandating it. It's really a hell of an effort they've put towards this, isn't it?
They call it banning books.
Right.
It's not
right. Right. The notion of banning books. It's a funny thing about this banning books, too, especially I'm looking at some of these textbooks. I don't think parents have any idea, really, how bad some of these books are. Forget high schools. Look at the nursery and kindergarten stuff. I'm sure you're familiar with these books. We can't talk about the content on radio shows like this. We literally cannot. We would get fined to talk about the content we're feeding and force feeding our 6-year-olds, Nancy.
Yeah, and some of those parents that going to those school board meetings who have read that content out loud have been shut down for that very reason.
Right, right. It's exactly right. I got to take a quick commercial break, Nancy. Let me come back. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about crime and criminal justice issues, as well as chronic homelessness and what we're seeing in these changes to our neighborhoods as well. As I go to break, let me put in a word for our sponsors at YRefi. If you are looking for a remarkable investment opportunity, YRefi is offering up a fixed no-load interest rate up to 10.25% return for investors, all in a secure, collateralized portfolio. YRefi, a due diligence approved firm, just run by really good people, investors who do well by doing good for others. You can be a part of that, too, by checking them out at investyrefi.com. That's the word invest, the letter Y, R-E-F-Y.com, or you can give them a call at 855-316-3087, 855-316-3087. Nancy Bartow and I will be right back. Please help this candidate, this state senator, out by going to nancybartow.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. It's a delight. It's a privilege to have Nancy Bartow, our state senator, running in the new LD Legislative District 4 here in Phoenix. NancyBartow.com is her website to help her out. Nancy, I'm going to guess that at a lot of your events, you're also asked questions about concerns about rising crime, violent crime, and the seeming inability to do things about it, or at least the seeming ability to blame the wrong parties when it comes to crime in Arizona.
Well, people are more and more anxious about their safety and their children's safety. And now, the data is in. It's coming in almost daily on why this rising crime is occurring. A lot of it is due to the open border and the criminals and the drugs that are pouring through. When you get the news that 2 million fentanyl pills were seized in August alone, and the terrorist threat, that's part of it. The anti-police sentiment is another huge part of it. We've got to tackle this head on, and I think there's no clearer difference than on this issue between the parties. I mean, including my opponent, she's all in for this new kind of criminal justice reform that doesn't even consider what justice is and who justice is for. How about the victim? They're left behind. But this is incredible. That we're in this position where we don't have enough police on our street because they just had enough.
Yeah.
They're in the crosshairs, and we've got to incentivize them and send a strong message that we appreciate the work that they do, and really clean up our systems and put the incentives in the right place in terms of what to do with criminals and homelessness. Make sure our mental health system is working appropriately. You know, I've spent a lot of time trying to fix a lot of those loopholes that are causing people to fall through the cracks and end up homeless and in jail. And then it's a horrendous cycle of crime and drugs and misery.
It's misery. It's social destruction. Let's stay on that mental illness thing for a moment, if we can. Mental health, anyway. Nancy, you have been a champion for it. I marvel at how the teachers' unions' heads at the national level, at the administration in Washington D.C., they're now talking about COVID being over, and they're now worried about the mental health fallout and the educational learning loss fallout from the closure of schools. And I'm just wondering about accountability. There won't be any because we don't really do accountability like that here. They have obvious kinds of different political and legal immunities. But my gosh, they have a lot to answer for. A lot of us were warning during the school shutdowns that they were creating a cure worse than the disease cure worse than the virus of COVID. And now they like arsonists, are standing over the burnt ashes and lamenting the fire.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, right.
You know, we already had a crisis in mental health.
Great point.
And from every point of it, from mild depression and hopelessness, and I don't know if there is a real mild end of it, because when you see a suicide, you know, in a kid, it's the worst possible outcome you can imagine. If it happens to someone you know, it's the end of the world.
Yeah.
But then you look at the spectrum and how we have just treated people with serious mental illnesses and not treated them appropriately because we shut down all the institutions in the 60s, and we're still institutionalizing them now. Well, now we call it prison.
Yeah.
And we're dealing with them on the street. So we have a crisis of just incredible proportion that we have to tackle one thing at a time. And I think one of the things we really failed at is continuing to throw good money after bad in promoting facilities and homes for people without accountability, like you mentioned.
Right.
We can do better, and there's a plan to do better. But, you know, we know which party is going to continue to oppose that kind of accountability for incentives to do this right. And so we've got to, like I said, you've got to vote Republican if you want accountability and you really want to keep crime at bay, treat mentally ill people, and treat mental health issues appropriately, and keep the schools open. I mean, I'm kind of amazed that we're seeing all the data come from the school closures on the outcomes from that, but there's no real apology.
No. There's just a revision of history,
and
they just revise history and ignore the fact that the NEA and AFT was working hand in glove with the CDC to keep those schools closed. And you're right too to point out, you know, it's a version of misplaced compassion. It's not compassionate to allow people with mental health and drug issues, and usually a combination of both, to live in a state of misery and chronic homelessness. That is not compassion. It's not compassion for parents and older people to treat their children as if they are the dangers and put their anxieties onto our children. It's a lot about misplaced compassion, isn't it, Nancy? It's just, when it comes to crime, it is misplaced compassion to care more about the criminal than the victim. We see this again and again and again through the liberal versus conservative dichotomy, don't we?
And in the school setting, it's all about the unions
yep.
and putting them first and the kids last.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, in the face of the science, where children were the last ones to really suffer from infections like COVID.
Yep.
And here we were forcing these school closures and masks that affect their learning
yep.
and development. There's truly no compassion. It's the total opposite.
Nancy Bartow, you've been generous with your time. I always feel guilty about inviting you on or people like you on this show, because I want you out there busy campaigning, because the stakes are so dang high. As I said yesterday about another race in LD4, you may not live in LD4, but if you have the resources or the ability to help these candidates, even in districts you may not live in, do understand they will be passing laws for the entire state of Arizona. So, Nancy Bartow, Godspeed to you, and thank you for your time. Thank you for your public service.
Thank you for having me, and I appreciate all the support and the focus on LD4. It's a must-win district, and so I hope people will get involved in that race and make sure to help us turn these three blue seats red.
Let's do it. Thank you. We will do it together. NancyBartow.com is the website to learn more and help out. NancyBartow.com. I'm Seth Leibson, and we'll be right back.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.